for whatever reason, this is a thing that I'm enduring and have endured as long, far back as I can remember, these physical limitations, which primarily is because of pain first, inflammation and fatigue. And so to think about that, just like you said, do I fixate on the fact that I quote unquote can't handle 3 hours at the park, or do I relish and enjoy the 30 minutes that I can? I have been focused on what I can't do, what I haven't been able to do, what I have endured, how much pain I'm in. And it's been very difficult to change my mind and think about it differently and say, even if I can only do 30 minutes, thank God for the 30 minutes. You're listening to the Experience Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Ajene Gaylord, and I endeavor to educate, encourage, and empower women to embrace emotional healing and eradicate the stigma of mental health in the body of Christ. On this episode, Michelle is with me once again as we continue discussing finding freedom from pain. Listen, getting to, and I'm still working this out.
Right.
I'm not saying that I have arrived.
Yes.
I'm just saying this is where I'm currently at in my journey.
Yeah.
Because I still do have hope that I can be completely healed.
Right.
That I don't ever have to face this level of pain daily. Right. I understand that, you know, all of us are going to face things, right? Mm-hmm. So many times on this podcast, how we're in a fallen condition, we are redeemed, we have salvation, Christ did the work, all of that. And yet we are still in these physical bodies. We are still having an experience in this world. Jesus spoke in his word to tell us that we would have trouble, but he's overcome the world. So through him, I have the capacity to deal with all of those difficulties. But it's not fun, because in my 20s, I had the same mentality. I should be able to, in my 20s, take care of my children without having to reach a physical limit. And I got to lay down for most of the day. Right. In my 30s, same thing. My children are getting older. They're, you know, elementary and middle school ages. I should be able to go out and about with them without feeling worn out to where I can't do anything for 4 and 5 days after. I should be able to walk and move more than 10 minutes. I should be able to stand up in my kitchen without having to sit down in a chair every 20 minutes because my feet are hurting so bad. Like, I should be able to open a jar. I should be able to open up a pill bottle. Like, I shouldn't have to. And this has been my, where I've been stuck for so long that I've missed the fact that there's something to be said about whether the pain ends on this side. When I get to the other side, there is a promise that I have access to because of what Christ did on the cross, because of his finished work. We have access to eternal life, eternal freedom from sin and pain. We look forward to the day that he takes us home or he comes to rule and reign. And we get to live out forever this blissful paradise with him. Like, that's enough to shout on and to carry me through the rest of these years that I have to live on this planet. But the reality is that that's a future thing. And sometimes my human, finite, limited, you know, mindset keeps me bound to what I'm experiencing and not what the hope is for. So as much as I know God is able to heal and he can do it and he's miraculous and he could do a supernatural work, and he has done that. I have had other challenges in my health journey where he did do a miraculous supernatural healing and I didn't have to have the surgery that they said I had to have. And all the symptoms and the thing that they called it was gone forever. He has done that. For whatever reason, this is a thing that I'm enduring and have endured as long, far back as I can remember, these physical limitations, which primarily is because of pain first, inflammation and fatigue. And so to think about that, just like you said, do I fixate on the fact that I quote unquote can't handle 3 hours at the park, or do I relish and enjoy the 30 minutes that I can? I have been focused on what I can't do, what I haven't been able to do, what I have endured, how much pain I'm in. And it's been very difficult to change my mind and think about it differently and say, even if I can only do 30 minutes, thank God for the 30 minutes. Even if my body fatigues quickly and I have to sit in the wheelchair, thank God it's temporary and it's only for these few hours that we're at the amusement park.
Yeah.
That daily, it's something that I don't have to necessarily endure. There are people who have different types of diseases, different types of ailments, different types of, you know, disabilities where they're required to be in a wheelchair all the time.
Right.
That doesn't, and that should not impede on their capacity to live their lives and enjoy their lives either. So if I do have to use a wheelchair in the airport because it's going to be too far for me to walk from one end of the airport to the other end of the airport, can I be okay with, I don't look like somebody who should have to.
Right.
And what message do we send to people when we think, for you to be able to use this assistive technology, whether it's heating pads, ice packs, massagers, because I have a ton of things that I have to employ. Like even now, sitting up in my chair, I have to have a special pillow that supports my back so that I'm not fatigued at trying to sit up in the chair and be supported. I don't carry it with me to church because I don't want people looking at me.
Right.
But if I need to do that, what is wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
But I focus so much on what I haven't been able to do that I have had a harder time seeing what God has already done. He's given me the strength and capacity to bear 4 children, which somebody in my body probably should not have been able to pull off. And it did threaten my life. Yes, it did. I did have some challenges with that. I'm still dealing with the fallout of having had those children, all by C-section, by the way. But thank God I was able to bring those children into the world. Thank God for that. Like, that's still a blessed thing to acknowledge, right? Yes, I may be limited to one activity a day, or I may have to budget my energy like people budget their money. I may have to, okay, I'm looking at my week. I'm looking at how many days I have this. And so I'm going to have to budget my energy here. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, because I'm going to tell you that that's how I look at things too. And I, you know, we're same age as of a few days from now. And
yes, I know.
and then, but that's that, I don't know how I got to that place. I think it was in some of the rush and hurry of my younger years that I did not like that feeling of hurry, hurry, go, go, be here, be there, do that, that I said, this is my choice. And, you know, my children enjoy being at home, so that works out well too. But I do look at my week, you know, okay, one play date, who are we going to play with this week? Who are we going to see this week? You know, relationships are important to us. And so let's pick the one person, you know, and that's it. Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm not doing enough. I'm not, you know, I could be doing more and stuff like that. But I think that my peace and my rest and just focusing on, I mean, it's this back and forth, ebb and flow of, I could be doing more. I should be doing more. I want to do more. I don't want to be hermit crabs in our house. You know, there's such a big world out there. There are people to meet and things to do. But at the same time, like, we are just coming into spring, right? So we came through winter. Winter's kind of more of the time where it's cold outside and you want to just be home and cozy and things like that anyways. So I have to be cognizant of that too. Like, okay, now that the weather's getting nicer, we will be getting out more often because the kids want to be out more often as well. And we can meet people at the park instead of maybe having to clean my house to prepare for people, makes it a little bit less overwhelming. There's just in different season, you know, different seasons of the children and what sizes and ages they are and stages, you as the mama, like, there's the whole picture of all of that, you know, what our husbands are going through. You know, my husband finishing up a degree, there was a period of time there that, you know, we weren't doing certain things. And, you know, so yeah, it's this continual reevaluation and kind of riding the waves or something, you know, I feel like we always want to categorize things and label things. Yes. And, oh, well, what season am I in? And so what should I be doing since I'm in this season? And all of that kind of stuff. And I think that's where I'm coming to more, like, for me, it is freedom to be able to say, mm-hmm. it's me and Jesus. We're journeying this. He's going to help me and lead me. Sometimes it's one day at a time. Maybe he gives me a little more vision on certain things.
Yeah.
I can look a few months out. I can, you know, look forward to some things, but it's little steps at a time. Like, I can only live my life one day at a time. I can't live my life in a year, you know?
Right.
So but it is this mindset shift, or, you know, over time, out of necessity or out of experience or however it came, coming to that conclusion or
yes,
that
yes.
realization or something.
And yeah. what helps me even in the moments of feeling despair is that when I get to these places, because there'll be a period of time where I kind of get down and start to succumb to mm-hmm. the circumstances and really feel sad or depressed or low.
Overwhelmed,
stressed, anxious because of what is happening. And right. so there is a period of time where I process through that. And the hope is that we can process through it, not get yeah. stuck in it.
Yeah.
And then what happens is I eventually press into the presence of the Lord, seeking him for answers. You know, I may be asking questions, you know, Lord, what mm-hmm. is this? I think I posed it to you when we were having a private conversation a few days ago, which was, okay, Lord, what is this? Is this a trial? Is this, you know, my health struggles? Is this a trial that, you know, you're using to perfect me? Like in James, you know, chapter 1, it talks about us counting all joy when we face our trials, knowing that the trying of our faith works patience, and patience is going to have this perfect work in us, and we're not going to want anything. There are spiritual principles to that, of course, but often those trials can show up as a myriad of things. Like those trials could be a difficult marriage. A trial could be a sick child. It could be financial woes. It could be all kinds of things, right? So these trials are not without a purpose. They have a purpose, which is to perfect us, to make us so that we are no longer wanting for anything, that we're made in the image of Christ and all of that. And so my question is, Lord, is this a trial where you just, you know, allowing me to endure this thing because you have this perfect purpose for me and you want me to be perfected in a certain way? Is this a thorn? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Paul describes how the enemy sent this thorn, you know, this is the way it was described in scripture, to buffet him, some type of physical issue. We don't know exactly what that was. Some speculate that he had issues with his eyes, you know, similar to, like, you know, legal blindness or something of that nature, where he was having difficulty seeing or something like that. But we don't know for sure what this quote unquote thorn was in his side that, you know, the Lord allowed Satan to buffet him with, is how it was described. But the response really was, but my grace is sufficient for you. So even if you have this thing, I'm not going to remove it, but my grace is what's going to carry you through it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's you're being tried and tested and proven through a process of perfection. It's a thorn that's there, and, you know, the Lord may not necessarily remove it, but it is his grace that's sufficient enough to carry you through it. Mm-hmm. And then this morning in my quiet time, I'm praying, I'm asking the Lord these two questions. And then one final question came: is this trauma? Because as we know, trauma and its impacts can have a physiological representation. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of information floating around where we're recognizing more and more how trauma can impede our physiology. It can be, quote unquote, trapped in our cells, in our bodies, and expressed through our physical bodies, right? That's why you can have what people call psychosomatic symptoms, where there's no physical explanation for what someone is experiencing. It's mm-hmm. something that's happening within their soul, but it shows up in the physical body. Their mind, which is what our soul is made up of, our mind, will, and emotions, is expressing something, and it comes out physically, right? Mm-hmm. that is very much in line with how God created us. And so is this a representation of the trauma that's been trapped in my body since I've, you know, shared with the audience before I was born, mm-hmm. right? When I was being born and then shortly after, just those physical things, just that short period of time when my body went through some physical, you know, injury, right? Mm-hmm. Is it that, you know? So whether I have the answer or not, what I do know is that God is good and that everything he does is good and that there's no good thing that he will withhold from me and everything works for my good, right? Mm-hmm. So if I have that hope, even if I have to use the wheelchair at the airport, mm-hmm. that doesn't take anything away from me being able to live and be alive, because there are many people who must use the wheelchair every day,
right?
So as much as I have been stuck at, well, I should, I'm 20 years old, I'm not overweight, I should be able to physically do X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't my reality. Am I going to move into these next years as I get into my 50s and 60s and 70s and hopefully 80s and 90s, if the Lord says the same, with this fear that I should be able to, so then I'm only going to focus on my limits, mm-hmm. or am I going to lean into those limits and say, once I reach this, now I know what I need to do. And his grace is sufficient to carry me through it, that I can take the trip, but I just have to be mindful about how I go about it.
Yeah.
I can do the activities that are required to be with my family and friends and in my community and in my church and in my whatever, in my work that I do. But I just have to be mindful of, I'm going to get to a certain, you know, budget deficit of energy. And so that's going to mean it's going to look like this. Mm-hmm. I can show up and support friends and family and loved ones and be a part of something without feeling like I'm missing out if I can't do it the way I think I should.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to change how I think about it.
Yeah.
And that is not what I want. That I want to be healed 100% with no limitations, and I can just do all the things. And that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also happen that God is like, no, my grace is sufficient. The wisdom I've given you, the things you've learned, the ways that you strive to find solutions and answers is a part of why you are still in that condition, because that's going to bless somebody else. That's going to relieve someone else's issue. That's going to heal somebody else. And if I remove this thorn, you're going to get too proud. You're going to get too high and lofty, or you're going to move past limits that I want to put on you so that you don't overstep what I've given you. It's not an easy thing to process, because I'm like, I don't want to be limited. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have to think about, I don't look like somebody that needs assistance with my bag getting into the overhead bin in the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't have my husband with me and I'm traveling alone, who's going to lift my bag up? Because he does it for me, right? Well, I'll have to ask. But hey, I can't let that stop.
That's part of their job, though, right? Like,
right. But I'm telling myself, I can't go on this trip by myself because my husband's not going to be there to help me, right? Because I know that this is going to be a challenge for me to do this when I look like somebody who should be able to do it.
You know, maybe that thing is like a dependency, right? Like, I want to be independent. I want to be free.
Absolutely.
I don't want to be, you know,
To me, freedom means control.
Right.
To me, freedom means no dependency.
Yes.
Right. But that's not what freedom is.
No.
So I've had to reframe.
To receive the help when you need the help type of thing. Yes. And
And that's not easy, because I tell myself I shouldn't have to need help. I should be able to open the jar instead of asking my husband or my child to open a jar for me. I should be able, like, this has been my constant framing, and I have to reframe it, because that's not freedom. Freedom isn't telling myself constantly what I should be able to do and constantly rehearsing how bad I feel about the fact that I can't do all the things that I should be able to do. That's not freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom is, Lord, you empower me to do whatever I need to do, to whatever capacity, to whatever level. And I can trust you to guide me. I can trust you to lead me. I have always believed that freedom means control. That is a lie that I have adopted as far back as I can remember as a little child, mm-hmm. probably stemming from disappointment in my caregivers for not meeting whatever need I had and all the things. Right. I framed these ideas and concepts within my own psyche, thinking, mm-hmm. my mindset and all the things. And so coming into learning what freedom actually is, which is the power to act or to do, which is just not being bound. Mm-hmm. What I have allowed my physical issues and medical challenges to do to me over the years is to keep me bound in a mindset that if I don't have health the way I think I should have it, then I can't enjoy my life. Mm-hmm. And that's not freedom. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Because whether or not I have physical limitations or I can do all the physical things, that doesn't mean I can't live my life. It may mean I have to live my life in a certain way.
Right.
It may mean I need to be more cognizant of things that other people aren't don't have to necessarily do. But does right. that make it bad or wrong or something? Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to hope for complete healing and wholeness. That's still something I would hope for. I'm going to hope for that till I die.
Right.
But can I look at the freedom that I have in Christ, and when he saved me, he set me free from the poor mindset. He set me free from the lies of the enemy. He set me free from my own sin and flesh. And that whether or not that experience becomes full on this side of heaven, on the other side, I get to live pain-free. Mm-hmm. I get to live drama-free. I get to live stress-free. He's given me eternal life. And that's enough to give me hope and joy right now.
Yeah.
Whether my body is in pain or not. And that has yeah. not been a mindset that I've had. I've had the opposite thought. But freedom says I don't have to be bound by that anymore. So as I'm contemplating, do I go on this trip alone and try to navigate what it's going to take for me to do all the things to get through the airport and get on the plane and carry my luggage and find a rental car and get to the place I need to get to, because all of that causes fatigue.
Right.
Mental fatigue is part of it. Yeah. Physical fatigue is part of it.
Right.
Or do I say, yes, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what it's going to take for me to get through that. Mm-hmm. And that I have the capacity. And when mm-hmm. I reach the limit, I've reached it. And I can't push past, because then I'll burn myself out.
So this is something that I've tried to do with my own children, is focusing on solutions, not on mm-hmm. the problems, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's, I wanted this for lunch and it's not here. Okay, well, what else? It's yeah. always like, what's the next thing? What's the next possibility? My wheels are already turning yeah. like, okay, so maybe, you know, if you have to be at a certain place for something, like you get a flight that's gives you more time, right? Yeah, so that yeah. if you have to rest to get to that place, you built in that time
yes.
to be able to rest to get where you need to be when you need to be there, mm-hmm. right? Instead of mm-hmm. the rush, 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 I got to get there. I land and then I have to be there in 2 seconds, you know?
Right, right.
But there's that margin, that space.
Margin.
That's the word. Yeah. There's the ability. Word. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like margin. Mm-hmm. I want to have the plan. I want to have exact. I want to know. I want to understand.
But you know what? When we don't have margin, though, I feel like mm-hmm. our relationships can suffer, because then the stress of the moment that gets taken out on our family and such, mm-hmm. because that's something that, you know, is very fresh, a couple instances over the weekend type of things yeah. of, you know, you don't understand how your decisions are impacting me. And, you know, we need to be somewhere at a certain time and things like that. And I tried telling you, you know, this is when we're out the door. This is when your shoes need, like, I tried to give you all the pieces mm-hmm. to get you to do it, and you weren't doing it. And then that had yeah. this impact on me and all the stuff. But when we have the margin, then yeah. it's like, okay, you can have the few minutes to have the conversation of, you know, you choosing not to do this does have an impact on mm-hmm. me. And you can say it in a way that's not like, hurry up, we gotta go.
Yeah. You know, which is how I live my life right now. Like, hurry up, let's go, we gotta do.
Yeah. Yeah.
With no margin. But that's part of the, it leans into that lie of productivity, which we're going to talk about right. in the second season uh-huh. of the podcast, that we kind of, you know, have created this society that's all yes. about producing and how yes. much you can do, how much can you accomplish, how much can you get done.
Right.
And I'm a very accomplished, driven person.
Right.
I'm somebody who likes to do things and get things done.
Yeah.
So it is very difficult for me and had been for a long time for me to lean into rest, to learn how to build margin, to create space.
Yeah.
But that's a lesson I'm learning now as I'm accepting and embracing the divine moment that I'm in, which is this is my current reality. As much as I hope for something different, as much as I know God is able to give me something different, this is my current reality, and that doesn't change his grace, his mercy, his love for me, his justice. None of that changes because my current reality is what it is. But what I have to learn in this state is how to create that space and build the margin to allow for me to accomplish what I need to do because of my limits. Mm-hmm. I have always framed my limits as a problem.
Right.
And I really think that as the Lord is working this in my heart, that what he is trying to reveal to me is that my limits are actually a blessing. Wow. I can't say enough about what we have been discussing and how much I am telling you all of my business. Please stay tuned for the final episode in this series, which will wrap up our first season of the podcast. Your life work for this week is to identify your blessing points. Last time I asked you to identify your pain points, but this time I'm asking you to identify and maybe even reframe some of those things and see where you can find what has been a blessing in your life. That's it for this episode. If you have been enjoying listening, please consider sharing and subscribing to the podcast. And until next time, remember, you have been set free to live free, so choose freedom.